Sagittarius, and welcome to your birthday reading for the year beginning in November or December 2015 through November or December 2016. This is what you can think of as a solar return reading, and the chart that I am using is the Sagittarius New Moon chart, which is set for today, the morning of December 11th, 2015. The moon was new. There was a sun-moon conjunction at 5:22 a.m., and it is an interesting chart, and that is the main chart that I'll be using, though I have looked ahead to the solar return chart of 2016 to see where you're going, and then we'll also be mindful of a Mars retrograde in your sign that is coming up beginning in April. I'm going to switch up the format a little bit from previous birthday readings that you may have listened to, indeed any of the other readings that I've done. And in the first section, I'm going to do a kind of a summary for people who want the basics and are not that interested in going deeper. And then in the second section, I'll take a little more time and explain some of the specifics, bringing more of the astrology into the conversation, which I'm going to strive to leave out of the first section, though I'll make some reference to it in the third section, which I'll record tomorrow. Prefer to sleep on the third section. I will do astrology afterthoughts and then a tarot card reading using the Voyager Tarot by Dr. James Wanless. So, to begin, obvious point of beginning, 2015-16, this next solar year, is the first year in quite a while that you will have Saturn in your sign for the whole year. For the past approximately 12 months or four seasons, Saturn has been retrograding in and out of your sign. It arrived to stay back in September and will remain in Sagittarius through December 2017, if I recall correctly, when it moves on to Capricorn. So you're now in an extended period of Saturn in your birth sign, and that sign is Sagittarius. This also accounts for your rising sign. And this is a tricky placement for astrologers to interpret because the nature of Saturn is considered to be so different from the nature of Sagittarius. But there's a bit of that going on in the chart where things are sort of in a place that is a little bit different than the place that you would normally want it to be. And that has a special effect that I like to think of as a chirotic effect by being a kind of inconvenient benefic, as the late, great Al Morrison once described Chiron. It serves you, but it may serve you in a way that at the time seems inconvenient, and then when you look back, the inconvenience was worth it and opened doors and provided opportunities that you would not have had otherwise. And Saturn is famous for this all by itself without having to be in Sagittarius. But I think that there's something, you know, really meaningful about Saturn and Sag. And I think that the effect could go one of several ways, but one of mainly two ways, which is a kind of obsessive quality about what's right for you and what you believe. And the other is a kind of a cleansing of what you previously believed that no longer serves you, particularly what you previously believed about yourself. And so it's an opportunity to move on from some mistaken beliefs and what you might think of as childhood disinformation about who you are. Saturn in a sign is, well, one interesting thing about it was the first transit in my chart that any astrologer ever explained to me. So I started astrology right at the end of Saturn in Aquarius, and I really got going with Saturn in Pisces. And so Saturn in one's own birth sign is one of those things that astrologers tend to be heavy-handed about. So I would caution you about what you're reading about Saturn in your sign, because Saturn remains one of the most misunderstood and maligned planets that there is. Saturn is an absolutely essential energy to master, And what Saturn in Sagittarius gives you is precisely the opportunity to master Saturn energy in your own style. And while Sagittarius is known for its expansive and optimistic properties, and Saturn is known for its tendency to limit and restrict and to be a bit pessimistic, the combination of Saturn and Sagittarius is very balanced and can be the kind of thing that you put to use for you. So this astrologer who explained Saturn in my sign, which is Pisces, similar quality as Saturn in Sagittarius, said basically that the essential message of Saturn in one's birth sign is a fundamental coming to terms with who you are. And I have tested this theory out now for quite a long time in quite a number of charts, and that is a beautiful description. Pretty good for a first description of a transit that I ever heard in my life. A key phrase that works, that's humane. And the second bit that I got about Saturn transits was from a newspaper astrologer named Patrick Walker. And he described Saturn in one's own sign as something that gives more than it takes away. So Patrick as well understood that there was a kind of a restraining quality around Saturn in one's own birth time, but that at the same time, it provides many gifts. And what I have found is that Saturn is excellent at trimming back and removing what does not need to be there, what is excessive, what is a waste of energy, and it then plants the seeds of what is durable and necessary, what is helpful. And like many things going on in your chart, Saturn in Sagittarius is providing you with an opportunity to structure or restructure your life. There will be elements where you'll be structuring things for the first time, and there'll be elements where you are restructuring things that you may have, you know, done many times before, but now the time has come to reframe, rethink, and get some clarity on the order in which you want things to be. Certain element of Saturn of everything having its place, and every place having its thing. Now, this Saturn in Sagittarius transit is made interesting. It is compounded to a large extent by all of the activity in Pisces, including Neptune in Pisces. And Pisces for you is the area of your chart that represents your grounding and your security base. And so if people have a concept of you as being kind of ethereal person and someone who is inherently a mystic, which is a property that I think is rightly attributed to Sagittarius, a lot of that is coming from the fourth house of your chart, from Pisces. It's coming from your inherently sensitive, the word would be watery in astrology, emotional nature. And so this is one of the things that provides a look into the nature of Sagittarius, this Pisces presence, which you have all the time, and that is especially strong now with a diverse collection of slow-moving planets in Pisces, moving through your fourth house, testing your security base, making sure that you understand what makes you feel safe, what makes you feel good, and more than anything, making sure that you understand the nature of your past. This is a vital, vital theme of the next couple of years for you, is understanding the influence and the role of the past. And there seem to be things that need clarification. A reader wrote in the other night and reminded me that in last year's Sag reading, I said that it's as important to seek for what is not true as much as it is to seek for what is true. And that is a function, in many ways, of Neptune in Pisces. And I would say that that is a theme that I would bring forward into the next year as well, given that the astrology only comes in stronger in 2015 and 2016 than it has been the past year. In other words, the themes focus, the theme of Saturn focuses every Sagittarius in the next 2 years, but most of you in the next probably 1 year, majority, will have Saturn conjunct the Sun. And so this is but saying that seeking the truth is a crucial thing, including seeking the truth of who you are, but it is easier to seek the truth when you've eliminated the potential for things that are not true, not real, not valid to be dominating your consciousness. And it can be very tricky to do this. Part of the reason why it is so challenging to seek for what is not true is that so much of what we were told was true, we were told when we were very young and had no defenses. And so no ego structure to interfere, to challenge the ideas. And much of this has happened, if you believe neurologists who have looked into this, before the age of two. I like to give an extra window. I think that 2 to 3 year olds are extremely sensitive. But part of the reason why neurologists believe that we are so impressionable through the gestation period and into being a very young toddler is because the brain is not fully formed. And because the brain is not fully formed, that means it is forming during those years, and it is forming largely based upon the environment. And so a person can have a certain nature that they're born with, but then they are heavily subjected to conditioning and to shaping by their environment. And the fourth house represents, Pisces in your chart, represents that early environment, and it also describes you as someone in that environment, as someone who is extremely open to suggestion, someone who is porous, basically. And this contradicts the kind of edgy, bow and arrow wielding hunter image of Sagittarius to say, well, actually, this is a child, this is a person, an adult, who is incredibly sensitive to your environment and sensitive to the feelings of other people being one of the most important things in your environment. And when we talk about the early environment and its incredible influence on children and how that influence is carried forward into the adult life, it would make a lot of sense for you to spend substantial energy in investigating factors of your childhood. And this, by the way, is what the solar return of 2016 is leading towards. That's the chart I'll be depending on mostly for the vision quest reading that I'll be doing in about a week for your sign. So you're going in the direction of this deepening understanding of your childhood influences, in particular those of your mom. The way in which she kind of set things up for you and the way that led to the life, to the personality, to the sense of mission that you now have. Now, speaking of sense of mission, Sagittarius is a very distinct sign of the zodiac. It is among the really standout signs, and this is something that comes from just it is the way that it is, but then there's this other little thing going on, which is that there is a collection of deep space points in Sagittarius. Deep space points are things that are never addressed by conventional astrology. Conventional classical astrology, even modern spiritual astrology, pretty much stops short of looking at things like the galactic center, the great attractor, quasars, black holes, and this kind of thing. And the thing with Sagittarius is that no matter what day of Sagittarius you're born or what time of day you're born, which would influence your sign rising, in particular the degree rising, you are very likely to have your sun or your rising sign close to or exactly conjunct a deep space point. And what this bestows you with is a kind of otherworldly quality. It is as if you are kind of a visitor from far away. You can seem very well adapted here, because you are actually very well adapted for the challenges of life on our particular planet, particularly at this particular time. But it's as if you're always a visitor from someplace far away. And the way that is described as is this collection of deep space points in Sagittarius. And this can, in many ways, does provide you with a very, very wide world view. You may be the person among your friends who feels as if you are seeing the world with the widest possible world view that someone can have. And you wonder how people can survive with such a narrow world view. Now let's add Saturn to that equation. Saturn in Sagittarius, first of all, is making aspects to many deep space points, including deep space points that are spread around the mutable signs, currently in aspect to Saturn and Neptune. And what that is doing is acting as if a kind of a compelling quality to make you deal with your inherent nature, that nature being inherently connected to something much larger. And so Saturn in Sagittarius is saying, yes, it is time to fundamentally come to terms with who you are, but that who you are is something larger and wider than you think that it is. And the way to see that is going to be to structure your perception of yourself, to apply a level of discipline, apply a level of focus on goals, those goals including personal development goals, professional goals, and emotional healing goals. And there's a kind of integration that is being driven by the presence of Saturn in your sign. Integration meaning you must take things in, assimilate them fully, and become that thing. It's as if you become what you absorb, and then you create, recreate what you have witnessed, absorbed, and then become, and then you have the opportunity to project that outward into the world as activity. And this is incredibly important right now, to be involved in productive activity, particularly productive professional activity. And here's why that is. The two most active signs in your chart right now, or your own sign, Sagittarius, where there's a great deal of activity and has been for many years, though it is starting to quiet down now, there's still a good bit of gas in the tank of unusual, slow-moving outer planets, but mainly Saturn is the influence, and then Neptune and Chiron in Pisces. So Saturn in So you're dominated right now by Sag and Pisces. And both of those planets are ruled by Jupiter. Jupiter is the ruling planet of Sag, the ruling planet of Pisces, and Jupiter is right now at the very top of your chart. It is in Virgo. It is in your career house. And so when you're wondering the effect, the net effect overall of this huge displacement of energy being created by Saturn making a square to Neptune, as if it's pushing all that water through, pushing all that water out, and then at the end of 2016, a square to Chiron, kind of driving certain very specific questions of healing and setting certain limits on how far way you can go from the healing process and how close you must come to the healing process and actually resolve certain things. That whole kind of churning, exciting, challenging setup, particularly Saturn square Neptune, manifests in your house of career. It manifests in your house of profession. And so this is saying that a crucial integration point where you are working your most personal sense of self, doing that coming to terms work, doing that integration work of your larger reality, the larger self that you are, the stripping away of all things that are related to image and what you might think of as driven by appearance and by any form of posturing, and where there must be the real deal. You must present yourself even more than you normally do, as you are being aware of anything that is not actually true to who you are, emphasized by the emotional cleansing of Saturn square Neptune in Pisces. This then shows up for the most vivid, necessary, productive work in your job. And by job, I mean the thing that you really need to be doing. And so if you imagine that Saturn is stripping away all that doesn't belong there, all that is not actually you, and that the activity in Pisces is saying you must feel the truth of who and what you feel, you must be a completely real person with yourself at all times, the net result of that is doing what is right. You might call that right livelihood. You might call that following your authentic goal. You might call that taking up your role and your place in the world. Okay, so we have all this going on. One of the most interesting metaphors that I have seen in contemplating your charts a bit for a couple of days is that Saturn in Sagittarius brings a limiting, structuring energy to a very expansive sign, right? So it's saying focus, discipline. Jupiter, your ruling planet, in Virgo, the house associated with your work, which typically comes across as at times not caring at all about the details and at times completely obsessed with the details. Jupiter is balancing that out, and it is saying, okay, you need a kind of a medium way between those two extremes of not caring about the details and being overly obsessed with the details and taking an expanded view of your role in the world. So Virgo has an inherently limiting quality to it. What Jupiter is doing is saying, okay, here's where you're going to expand. You're going to limit yourself and make sure that you are reducing and eliminating everything you don't need on the most personal aspect of your chart. And then that focus is going to funnel right into Virgo, where you achieve things in the world. And in a sense, it is saying, see yourself more realistically, but make sure that you dream bigger dreams in the world in terms of the work that you do and the goals and the missions that you have. Jupiter in the 10th house, particularly Jupiter in Virgo, may not immediately deliver the things you're looking for, though there's very likely to be some important packages arriving, but it will do is help you expand your ideas of what is possible and plant the seeds for the future. And they are very fertile seeds, given the power of what is coming out of the signs that Jupiter rules. So think of Jupiter as being powered by the contents of Sag and Pisces and bringing all that power up into the house of goals and achievements. And where typically you might tend to sell yourself short on certain goals and achievements, and you might get caught in certain details, now is a chance to see yourself as larger than you have seen yourself in the past. And by larger, I mean someone having a larger mission than you have imagined you were capable of. Okay, now, one last point, and this begins to bring in the relationship question. And this takes the relationship question from a more personal standpoint. And this involves Mars retrograde. Mars retrograde begins in your sign, and that happens on April 17th. And then it retrogrades back through the beginning part of Sag and into Scorpio, your 12th house. And this is going to reveal something to you about your true sexual nature. It's going to become very difficult for you to deny your true sexual nature. Now, you might think you don't deny your true sexual nature. The problem is our entire society is set up with a kind of a mandatory denial of one's true sexual nature. Then it just slips in odd places when you're halfway between waking and sleeping and in certain fantasies and maybe with certain people and maybe on certain substances or maybe in imbibing certain art or literature, colloquially known as pornography. But Mars retrograding into your 12th house is going to put you in contact with a truth of who you are, which is that your underlying spiritual nature is actually very closely connected to what you might think of as the genetic and hormonal instructions that humans come with. And so these genetic and hormonal instructions for you are located in the 12th house of your chart, but now Mars is going to go there. And so here is the main question of relationships. What do you actually want? And this is not just necessarily the tall, dark, and handsome man or the curvaceous, 5'4" blonde, but rather what would really feed your inner, let's say, psychoerotic nature? What is the thing that you want, the experience, the emotional contact that you want the very most? Completely setting aside the form of the relationship, the type of person that's involved, you are going to get some excellent instruction in your true inner sexual and emotional nature, because Mars is going to have a distinct action. It is going to burst into your life from the 12th house, where it's going to spend a long time in the first part of 2016, and then it's going to retrograde through your sign back into Scorpio and spend a long time in both Scorpio and Sagittarius. And so there's something here about, in a sense, integrating the side of yourself that you reveal and the side of yourself that you don't reveal, and becoming more comfortable with the side of yourself that you don't typically reveal, and not necessarily being so squirmy around subjects that tend to make people squirmy in our day and age, because there's so much, complete ignorance about sexuality in our day and age. And you have the opportunity to become an enlightened person and what you might think of as someone whose path of self-mastery includes this extraordinarily taboo aspect of human nature, but you are going right there. In closing, I will say it would be wise of you to start studying about Tantra. Maybe Kama Sutra also, but I suggest that you look into the nature of Tantra. Tantra is a form of spiritual practice that mainly involves integrating male and female energy within a person. And we have that going on with the various metaphors of Mars and Sag and Mars and Scorpio. And you also have it going on with the fact of Gemini being your opposite sign. Gemini is a sign that itself is all about the integration of male and female energies. And that produces a healing effect, and much of that healing effect involves withdrawing projections, no longer needing to be hyperpolarized into one sex role and then having someone else have to fulfill the other sex role. Rather, you can embrace all of the different polarities within yourself. And what this is likely to do is to sort of smooth the way to meeting other people who are more balanced. All right, let's call this the beginning of things, the executive summary here, done in a record short time for a first session in this series of readings, now extending back 5 years. And I'm going to take a short break, and then I am going to come back and explain things that I've already talked about and some new things in greater detail, going deeper into the story. All right. I'm listening to, by the way, music composed by me and Daniel Sternstein, my Sagittarius guitar teacher, and most probably Daniel Grimsland. We've been composing quite a bit of music for Vision Quest, and we are just dipping into that very deep well to provide you with something beautiful. beautiful to contemplate and to listen to. All right, I'll be back with you in a digital instant.